Leaders and healers, gamers and claimers, ladies and gentlemen from around the universe, from around the globe, from around the community, welcome to the Power, Purpose, and Passion podcast. I am your host, Anthony Cheem, speaker, life coach, author, trainer, musician, singer, songwriter, podcast host, ready to give to you everything I've learned, earned, and returned in this world from books, from seminars, through life experiences, spirituality, psychology, sociology, giving the best of what I've learned in those many years of struggle and strife, because out of struggle, you gain strength. And that's what life's all about, taking your struggles and turning them to rocket fuel to your deepest desires and dreams. This is a little bit off of my normal introduction. And so I'm just a crazy cat like that. And I love to go crazy like that and be passionate about what I say and what I do and how I live my life. So this is a podcast where we help you claim your power, clarify your purpose, and cultivate your deepest, widest, and highest passions possible. Ultimately, showing up, growing up, waking up, cleaning up, upgrading, updating, advancing your life so you can live the ultimate life, and then ultimately, which is to then contribute yourself and inspire and conspire with others so they, the people out there, can do the exact same. That's why we do this podcast. So thank you for joining us in today's live podcast, wherever you listen to this, either passively or actively, at home, at work, in your car, working out, wherever you are, cleaning your garage or your basement or wherever you are in the world. We love the fact that you're tuning in and listening and willing to take the time to listen to some good material, hopefully some wise material that will inspire you to think, to re-examine, to love your life, and to give to others at a more deeper and profound level. So thank you. In today's discussion, we're just going to talk about a few questions that Cam has for me. And I love these type of shows because he gets to ask questions. And it's very much like how I conduct my coaching practice. And whether it be with families or one-on-one, or in many cases, small seminars with families or with a small group of people. And I love doing it because it's just so raw and unscripted. So a lot of this stuff is unscripted anyway, but I love having someone ask me questions live, and then people can kind of look at it objectively and go, wow, that kind of resonates with me. So thank you, Cameron. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, Anthony. I'm doing very, very well. Like Fantastic. I said before we press record here, like it's gorgeous outside. I'm enjoying the sunlight, and yeah, I had a few questions lately.
Oh, fire them away, man. Fire them away.
Okay, so lately I've been doing very, very good, mostly because I've sort of I've entered this hallway of confusion or whatever, but okay. But I've left behind me a door that has been like clearly holding me back, you know. So I've overcome a lot of stuff, and where I'm at this point is I want to know your perspective on following your intuition, following your heart, basically feeling this excitement about something, and maybe there's nerves, maybe there's not, whatever, and kind of seeing where that goes, rather than always using your intellect and your mind to figure things out, because I don't know exactly yet. Miracles have happened in my life, but they always say if you follow your heart, if you push through this discomfort, or you do what excites you at a deep level, then things are just going to work out. You know, you're going to meet the right people and things are just going to sort of fall into place. I want to know your perspective with that, because I'm still very much a beginner, and I'm sure you say the same thing about yourself. We're all beginners here, but I'm just curious if you've ever experienced these crazy synchronicities, miraculous moments, just because you decided to be yourself, to do what feels right for you, not because it makes you look good, not because people are telling you to, but it's just you're being yourself, you're expressing your uniqueness and all that.
I have to say, yeah, I think you know, entering into that hallway of confusion and not knowing what to do, it's like sitting between the doors of certainty and uncertainty. Some people will run to certainty, others people will run to uncertainty. It's being able to live in between the shadows. And I think most importantly, what I've learned on my own spiritual journey, from a spiritual angle, I think living with an open mind and an open heart and an open belly is one of the most profound ways to live. I think it is the most profound ways to live, because you leave yourself open to experiences in life, to listen to, as they say, basically the mind to think, the heart to feel, and the gut to know. Your gut is your intuition. If you say, I have a gut feeling, that's your intuition probably talking to you. But if you, too many people use their brain to kind of formulate a rational equation about what life means or whether God exists, you're not gonna find it up here. And I remember that experiment that was done on a bunch of Buddhist monks, and they were testing the brain activity of compassion and love, and they had these electrodes attached to the brains of these monks, and the monks started laughing, and these neurologists and scientists were like, why are you laughing? He's like, well, no, we all know that love and compassion doesn't arise in the mind, it arises in the heart. You should be testing the heart waves and where it comes from. So when you say my heart is sad, it's actually, there's brain neuropeptides in the heart and in the gut. We actually have three brains, they've discovered. And it's good to live openly with an open mind, an open heart, an open gut. And as the Tao Te Ching says, I'm open to everything, attached to nothing. And I think there's some great wisdom in actually that. I would say I'm open in my mind to everything, attached to nothing, open to my heart, and fully open and not attached to anything. I'm open in my gut, in my belly, and attached to nothing. So I'm open to everything that happens, that filters through. And it's this idea of living powerfully from a powerless place, living completely invincible from a completely vulnerable space. And that sort of sounds paradoxical. It feels like, it almost sounds like I'm talking to both sides of my mouth. That how do you live powerfully from a powerless position? Well, meaning, you know, some of the most powerful people I've ever met. I'm talking not power meaning money. A lot of people say power, equate power with money and political and academic achievements and, you know, the title you have on your job description as CEO or chairman or whatever it is you have beside your name. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about powerful people like someone like a Gandhi, someone like a Jesus Christ, someone like a Mother Teresa or Nelson Mandela, someone like, I want to name some women. Julian of Norwich. She was a Christian mystic. All these people that I've studied, they dove into the realm of powerlessness and vulnerability, and they were able to, on their journey, discover the power within powerlessness. And that's what they discovered. As I say to people all the time, if you're able to sit with your pain and your suffering and put attention on where you feel the pain in your body, in your mind, and put attention there, you will find God there. That's what I trusted one of my spiritual teachers to tell me that. And I said, wow, that's almost doesn't make sense at all. And, but when you trust that it's making more out of you in those dark times, it's those dark times that light the pathway to liberation and love and deep spiritual experience. And I have to say, the more I live in that in-between space, in that hallway of confusion, man, when I finally exit that hallway of confusion, I live with so much more depth. But here's the thing, you talk about synchronicities, you talk about the right people showing up, the right answers show up. I believe more than ever, than ever before, that if you are present with where you are in your life, completely present, mind, heart, soul, body, I believe the answers will come. The right people will show up, the right book will show up, the right phrase or the right move or the right action will show up. Have you ever met have you ever seen an athlete just get in that flow state, totally present, totally surrender to them, and all of a sudden they break the record and scoring, you know, 90 points in a game or you know, Michael Jordan 67 points in a playoff game, and he was just like totally on fire. And, you know, a golfer or a tennis player or an artist who paints this magnificent picture and they don't even know how they did it, or a person that writes a song or a poem like Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata, and you go, wow, and you listen to that song or you read that poem and you go, wow, they must have been in a state of complete surrender and presence with that divine. It's like almost like, I'm sure you've had this as a musician, Cam, when you're singing a song or you're playing your guitar and you become a witness to you playing guitar or singing that song. You completely let go, where subject and object dissolve. The right music, you're singing in a way you've never sang before, you're playing in a way you've never played before, you're in a state of total bliss that you've never experienced before, and everything's happening, everything's aligned, the universe is basically the world is your oyster and you can basically create miracles in that moment. And all because you were able to surrender to the moment, be completely present with the moment, and activate the highest capacities, abilities, potentialities in you without you having to do anything, without even trying. And that all, it all comes back to being present. And when I put presence to my pain or my pleasure, like I'll give you an example of this. I was in a meditation this morning. It was the most extraordinary meditation I've had in a while. And I was sitting in complete, I felt like I was floating on air. Even when darkness arose, negative thoughts and images arose, I gave attention to them, and I felt this overwhelming sensation to give attention to that and open it up and send love to it as with every part of me. Without me trying, it was this feeling of lightness, of calmness, of serenity, and I was able to sit with it and without judgment, and it was this overwhelming peace and detachment, and I was feeling like, wow, this is amazing. But I was also aware of sort of my predilection, my inclination to want that to continue. And because I was able to notice my attachments and my aversions, I was able to be free of them. I guess where I'm getting at there, Kim, is this, is that I'm learning to be more present. I'm learning to trust that presence has all the answers that you need. And that when you live with intention, when you set your day, when you begin your day with total intention to love, to give, to learn, to break through, to claim my power, clarify my purpose, and cultivate my passions, and then trust that the present moment will provide the ideas, the inspiration, the right abilities to follow through on my intentions, man, that's an invincible force. Because, you know, even Deepak Chopra, at the most simplest level, he said, you know, if your whole intention was to get an A on an exam, but your focus is on getting an A on the exam, that will dissipate your ability to actually get the A, which is be present with whatever you need to study in the moment now in order to get that A, right? You have this intention to write this book, but your focus is on finishing the book or getting the book done, but where your attention, it will dissipate your ability to actually be in the present moment to write that first word or that first sentence or that first paragraph to actually get the book started. That's where all the power is. So if you're struggling with your vision or struggling with your goals or objects, or objectives in life, give it present. Presence. One of my original mentors used to say to me, Anthony, the acronym for WIN is W-I-N, which is what's important now. What's important now? And if you can bring yourself back to this present moment now and bring it back to one small activity, it's almost like magic happens in that moment. By putting your attention on the present moment, to your breathing, whatever it might be, and restlessness and stress tend to dissipate in the presence of that attention.
Yeah, no, that I went off on that makes absolute sense. And you answered more than one of my questions just in that rant. So great job. I do agree that presence is the most important thing. Obviously, we're here now. We're not in the future. We're not in the past. If you're listening to this, whether it's in this moment while I'm speaking or in a future moment, it's still the present moment. So it really is. Who calls it? Louise Hay calls it the point of power. Your point of power is always in the present moment. Always. Right? So if you remain present, then there's nothing to worry about. You have power. Always. Right? So that's a very important perspective. And I'll sort of give you an idea of why I ask these questions. So, being totally transparent with you and your audience, I have this podcasting business, as you know, where I get on and I record people's shows and I upload it for them, and you know, it makes people's lives easier, and I help people expand their reach online through podcasting, which is great. It makes me money, right? That's my business. But lately, I just read a book called Dying to Be Me by Anita Murjani, which she basically drills down the concept of following your intuition, following your heart, being yourself, expressing yourself, following your bliss, right? Doing what feels right. And lately, I have been writing music and recording music, and I haven't been able to put down my guitar. It's ridiculous. So I guess the only thing going on in my mind really is, I have this business that keeps me alive, but then I have this thing that doesn't necessarily keep me alive, but it excites me so much. And so the reason I was asking about all this stuff is because, like, I still, because of the way I was raised, because of the things you're told, I still, every time I'm playing, it's so much fun until I'm done. And then I'm like, wait, I just wasted time because that didn't really get me anywhere success-wise. It was just fun, right? It didn't really pay my bills. It was just fun. And I mean, obviously, dream life would be to do something you love like that and get paid for it and just live off of that, right? That'd be the dream. But again, there's always like this thing in my mind to transcend that. How would you go about just sort of ignoring that cynic inside of you that's like, why are you playing guitar? Go work on your business. Or why are you recording? Go work on your business. That kind of stuff. Because it is ingrained, right? Because of the way we were brought up in this culture, it's all about, well, that's great and all. You could be a painter, but you're not going to ever make money. You could be a musician, but you'll be broke. You know, that kind of thing. There's always these people who are telling you, you know, you got to worry about your future and et cetera.
Yes. Well, I think there's two parts to that. Number one, let me answer it from the higher spiritual part of it, that, you know, oftentimes when I get into that groove of, or I get into that point where I'm like, my mind's racing or my inner cynic, my ego are just savagely, you know, at the battlefields of my mind and just marching their army onto my psyche. And oftentimes me bringing attention to that and saying, okay, I can't control what my ego does or my inner cynic says, but I can control how I respond to it. That's where the spiritual power is. Knowing that you're not your inner cynic, you're not your ego. You're something bigger than it, way bigger than that. You are the one that's looking out to all those things. Call it God, call it witness, call it Buddha nature, whatever you want to call it. But oftentimes, as soon as I'm able to separate myself from my ego and my inner cynic and sit down with it and go, yeah, that's nice. Or I stand up to it and say, you know what, right now you're not really helping, so shut the hell up. And oftentimes that does work. And then I continue on with my attention. And then what I oftentimes do too is I'll ask myself, what is my deepest and highest intentions of my life? What do I value most in this moment in my life? What would be most important if I had only one day left to live? And it brings me back to the present moment. That's from a spiritual sense. Now, from a practical sense, yes, Cam, I remember my original mentor. He was very, very successful businessman. And he talked about very practical strategies on how to make your dreams come true. And one of the things he said was, you know, work 9 to 5 on your job and 5 to 9 on your dream. You know, and J. Paul Getty, one of the richest men back in the 40s and 50s, was saying his great line that says, your job was designed to sustain you while you develop your gold flow. And so there's certain cases, if you're a single mom, and what harder and more important job is there than to be a single mom who's working 3 jobs and it has to raise 2-3 kids on their own. And I remember even a woman by the name of Sarah Alfaro from Mexico. She was a woman that was coached by Jim Rohn, who was her mentor. She had 3 children, no job, no money, no skills whatsoever. She went to a Jim Rohn seminar, somehow came up with the money. And at the time, I forget how long ago this was, but then she turned her life around, applied the principles that Jim Rohn taught her, and then basically was making $30,000, $40,000 a month. She turned from pennies to riches, right? And she was a single mom with kids, no job, no money, nothing to her name, and she was able to turn things around. So from that practical sense, there are certain things that you must do that you may not like. Like you love this podcast. And the truth is, if you look at your life there right now, Cam, you're good at what you do in terms of podcasting. You made a business. You're doing a great job at it. You're helping people. You're helping me. You're helping the world. And it could be a good side note. But you know what? It reminds me of Michelangelo. Did you know Michelangelo painting the Sistine Chapel was not his passion? He used painting the Sistine Chapel to subsidize his real passion for sculpting. So he painted the Sistine Chapel as a side job to basically subsidize his real passion for sculpting, which is what he did. And he was like the most talented man in his time. Leonardo da Vinci was called the most talented human being in the history of all human beings, one of them. Like, the guy was a scientist, he was a engineer, he was a painter, he was a sculptor. He envisioned machines 5, 6, 7 centuries past its time. He envisioned during his time, I think he was born, the 13th or 14th century? Anyway, the point is he envisioned flying machines, airplanes and automobiles and air conditioners. There's actually this device that I believe that he invented back when he was alive that I think, I'm pretty sure, and I correct me if I'm wrong, that it's for making wine. It's this one, that this piece of machinery that somehow keeps the temperature and the pressure equalized, and they haven't figured out a way to make it better. And this was centuries ago, you know, and he was a brilliant person. And so what I'm saying is this: oftentimes what we do is we give into the inner cynic, the ego that says we're not good enough, we should be doing anything else. But you know, at the end of the day, what does Wayne Dyer say? There's no way to happiness. Happiness is the way. So your is your music. And that brings you into a happy place. And do you not feel after you feel invigorated by playing your music that it's a way to fill you up, not to drain you?
Oh yeah, big time.
Right? So oftentimes, you know, I think it was William Blake that said, you know, I don't sing because I'm happy. I'm happy because I sing. Right? And so I think he said, it's so profound in what he says, is when you do things that make you happy, it fills you up. It makes you a better human being. It enhances your brain. It expands your genius, and you're able to proceed with what much more clarity in your podcasting or whatever job you're doing. So doing things that you love to do then enhances your ability to do your job, right? So then you make more money doing your job, and then you bring yourself back to doing things you love, and then that fills you up even more, and then you bring it back to your job. And so that goes along with masculine energy. And I won't get into this too much, but you know, when masculine energy goes and breaks through something, they go work out, or they conquer a business, or they conquer a mountain, whatever it might be. Or I'm saying women have masculine energy too. But what I'm saying is, when masculine energy is activated, the very act of activating masculine energy and putting your focus on one thing and breaking through, you're not expending energy. You're actually using masculine energy, expending masculine energy to enhance you, to actually fill you up even more. So then when you return back to your relationships or your job or whatever you decide to do, you're actually filled up even more. So that's why I say to people, never stop doing what you love to do. Never, ever. No matter, I don't care how bad it gets. Like, honestly, it's there were such down times in my life where no matter what, I would be like, you know, I just need to step away. I'd go and play the piano, or I'd go and sing, or I'd go and work out, or I'd go and, you know, walk in nature. And I, even though it wasn't providing an outcome I was looking for, it allowed me to submerge myself in that which lit me up the most. And then when I finally returned to my studies or my work or whatever it was, I was able to return to it filled up, because I left what was stressing me into a realm, into a pool, an oceanic flow of passion, of love, of creativity and genius, and then bringing that oceanic flow back into what was stressing me. And I was able to handle what was challenging me, what was stressing me out.
Yeah. So, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. Definitely. Wow. Yeah. So I mean, that's sort of how I feel about this podcasting gig as well, is it's a fun day job. And not only is it a fun day job, it's a fun day job that helps people and brings sort of more positivity to the planet, you know, better messages out there. And it just helps people express themselves. And I like that. It's just, I'm definitely spending probably 85% of my time making music, which is fine. If it makes me happy. It definitely not only makes me happy, it makes me want to help others more. Even with just with little things, like, yeah, I'll wash your dish, or I'll switch the laundry for you, or here, have a hug, or like, how are you doing? You know, I care about you. I don't know. Like, when I am passionate, it rubs off on others, in a almost subconscious way. It's awesome.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So
let me ask you, let me ask you a question. What do you think is more fulfilling to you? When you go do a paid gig at a bar and you get paid to do this paid gig at this bar, which I'm sure you've got paid to do music things, right? For people at bars or wherever you're going, or 10 people saying to you, wow, when I listen to you and I hear you and I see you up there on stage, wow, you're so passionate. I can see that you love this and you've inspired me so much through your example. What do you think fills you up even more?
Oh, that sentence being spoken to me. And I've had that before. It's such a, when I listen to music, you know, you get like goosebumps and you feel it in your heart, like you just are connected in such a way. It expands your consciousness almost. It gives the moment a whole new dimension. And I feel that, like, when I make music, I want to give that to people. And not only that, I think, I don't know. Honestly, it's like the why almost barely matters at this point. And the why is also like beyond words, to be quite honest. But yeah, no, it's not for money whatsoever. It's not even for attention either. I put it out there into the world. If people want to listen, they want to listen. For me, the process of just making a song that I like excites me. That's just it, you know. And I do have these ebbs and flows, because, you know, there will be a moment where I really, really want to just talk about spirituality on my YouTube channel, and then there will be a phase where I want to make music, and then a phase where I definitely am done writing. I'll play live, I'll jam, but I just can't write anymore, you know. So would you say just kind of going with this flow and understanding your trends and just doing what feels good, like stay on that compass?
Yes. Yes. I mean, again, I mean, I've written about this in my books too, about like setting a goal and envisioning it every single morning and doing all that stuff. And yes, I do agree with that. However, not at the expense of this present moment. Once you envision it, you set the goal and you do your meditation and you see yourself as you want to be, you let go of that vision and you let your subconscious mind lead you. You bring yourself back to the present moment, and then you do what's necessary now, whatever activity that is now. And that's what I certainly learned throughout the years in self-improvement and self-development. Setting goals, yes. Objectives, yes. I mean, again, I can get into it. It also depends on what level of development you're at. And I won't get into that, spiral dynamics and integral theory. I won't get into that.
That sounds intense.
Yeah, I won't get into that, because although I can tell you it's very, very important to understand what level of consciousness and development you're at, whether it be like the, you know, what they call the 8 levels of development, infrared, archaic, amber, red magic, mythic, amber mythic, orange rational. I won't get into that. And many of the people may not even understand what I'm saying, but what I'm saying is this: when you understand where you're at on the sort of the totem pole of consciousness, you'll go, oh, that's why I believe those things. That's why I do those things. That's why I'm so irritated by certain things in my life. That is why, have you ever grown up to a point where you're like, you start to examine yourself and you go, wow, that doesn't bother me anymore, like it used to, because you've grown up. And there's 3 parts to spirituality. And again, I'm going off on a tangent, but there's the waking up, which is you expanding your consciousness to the point where you are unified, unity conscious, non-dual consciousness. And then there's the growing up consciousness, which is basically growing along those levels of development, psychological and consciousness development. And then there's the cleaning up, which is constantly looking at your shadow and doing the shadow work as well, both the dark shadow and the golden shadow too as well. And I've sort of briefly touched upon those on previous podcasts, but I think where you're at right now, like even for me right now, where I am right now in this moment, I'm not really setting a lot of goals. I'm giving myself a lot of love though. Why am I doing that? Because I too am in the space of hallway of confusion, because I'm in this dark space of, you know, it's towards the end of my seasonal affective disorder, right? And it's hit me hard. So I get periods of total exhaustion, and then periods of up and periods of down. periods of, I mean, like my mood swings are just crazy. So I have to step back and provide the love that my body, my mind, my whole soul needs. So I'll oftentimes take a nap. I'll rest. I won't get up at 3:30 as much anymore. I'll still rest, give myself that sleep and that rest. And as I'm in this winter of my life, my own personal life, I know after winter, and I trust after winter, what happens after winter? Springtime. And it's springtime outside right now. And I'm in the winter of it right now, in my personal spiritual journey right now. But I know I'm gaining a lot. I just don't know what I'm gaining. I'm trusting that I am gaining, and that makes the difference. It's like, that's what faith really is the combination of knowing and unknowing. And I'm certainly in that space right now. I'm trusting and that I'm guided. People like, even I'm in an interview with Wayne Dyer and Eckhart Tolle. They were asked the question by an audience saying, I asked, do you guys have goals? And both of them said no, because they are at a certain developmental level. I'd say they're probably at 7 or 8 on the scale of development, which is the second and highest tiers of the consciousness, spiral dynamics and integral theory. And meaning that they basically transcended all that. They're not living to get somewhere, because they are where they need to be in this moment, right? They're not trying to change. They are where they are in this moment. And they're just,
yeah, that's it. I've noticed that. You know? I thought I was going backwards, because, you know, you listen to Tony Robbins and all these like sort of productivity, motivational success coaches, and many of them say, you know, write your goals down specifically, read it every day. And I loved that kind of stuff. And now I can't get myself to even care. I can't, I don't know. Like, I thought it was a problem, but now that you say that, it makes a lot of sense, because it just doesn't matter to me. I've had so many different goals that I don't know what I will want 3 months from now. Like, it's a waste of my energy. If I could just, like you said, what's important now, then, you know. And I have this thing, I have this little app on my phone, and it tracks like how I'm feeling each day in colors. So it's like nice to see, you know, wow, I've been doing really good this week, you know? And since I've been really just focusing on what's important now, following my heart, doing what feels right, not what is, you know, stimulating physically, not like, you know, drugs or anything, not that kind of feeling right, but like, on a spiritual deep like fulfillment level, where people know that feeling where you feel it in your chest, you feel it in your heart, and you're excited. There's something like that pulls you, you know. Doing more of that, I've just been feeling absolutely great, and I haven't had a goal in mind whatsoever.
You know what, there, Cam, I think trusting your intuition is probably one of the best piece of advice in this show. Like, I think that is like trusting that deep part of you, but then you have to tune into that part of you. You got to be very subtly aware of what your intuition is telling you, your higher self is telling you. And you obviously, you've done that work. And I think I've had the same experience where I felt like, wow, I'm not setting goals. My God, I'm moving backwards. In fact, according to spiral dynamics, integral theory, and these developmental scales, they talk about you reach a point where you almost feel like you are, what's the word Ken Wilber used? He said, you reach a point when you've reached the integral level stage 7, and you've made that monumental leap to that highest, one of the highest stages of psychological and consciousness development, that you almost feel numb, because all your willpower is thrown out the window almost, because there is no willpower, because your will is in the moment. And so it almost contradicts itself in that, as you said, Wayne Dyer was asking, you know, like, how do you know what speaking engagement you need to go to? He goes, I go where I'm told. I go where my spirit tells me. I don't argue with it. He just, whatever spirit, if this is the one, I'm going. I don't argue with it. I just listen to that deepest part of myself, and I do it. And I have to say, I'm sort of living that right now. Part of me wants to get out of this hallway. There's still that irking part of me that wants to just leave and go set a new goal and read a new book or listen to some new audios and go, oh, this is the answer. But no, it's the deepest depths of that hallway of confusion, where it's the darkest, where there's uncertainty and you feel like you're powerless. That's where God, the miracles of spirituality, does its most grand and powerful work in you, when you're in that liminal space. And when you're in that space of, it's hard. To the uninitiated, they would think you're crazy. You're crazy to do that. You're just, you want to get out of that hallway, or you want to return to what's familiar. And I used to do that, either return to what's familiar or go do something new to distract myself. And for a while it would make me feel good. And yes, I love challenges. Yes, I like to be stimulated. Yes, all those things. But then I would return back to it and go, well, you haven't learned this lesson yet. So we're going to put you back in the hallway for a bit. And that's what happens. And so I think, I think you're doing all the right things there. I think you've reached a point in your certain development there, Cam, that I think you're just trusting that, your intuition. And when you're in that state of bliss and joy, what greater gift is there to be in that state, really? And also to be unattached from wanting it to continue. Just again, open heart, open mind, open gut, fully open, fully, the spiritual teacher said, a true, authentic spiritual journey encapsulates the full spectrum of the human condition. Boredom, loneliness, fear, confusion, shame, hatred, judgment, condemnation. Those are all a part of the journey. Those are it doesn't end there, but they're all part of it. To feel bored, to feel lonely, to feel shame. And seeing what's in the shame, seeing what's in the loneliness, seeing what's in the boredom. Are you able to jump in rather than go, I feel bored, I'm going to go distract myself. There are lessons, spiritual lessons in boredom and loneliness and fear and feelings of hate for yourself and guilt and shame, whatever it might be. There's deep spiritual awareness. And any psychotherapist will tell you, let's dive in, or any spiritual director will tell you, let's dive into why that hurts so much. Let's see what's there. Let's uncover what's there. Let's sit and talk about that, rather than trying to break your pattern and right, do all the psychological peak performance techniques that Tony Robbins and all the NLP practitioners tell. And guess what? It is good. Those techniques are good for a particular area of life, like business and athletics and certain things. But in terms of spirituality, the spiritual journey, they don't necessarily support you. Not necessarily a lot. Now, there comes a point where spirituality and psychology come together and they unify, they integrate, sure, there's no question. But in terms, Richard Rohr says, sometimes we need more spirituality and we don't have enough psychology. And sometimes we have too much psychology and not enough spirituality. It's a good way to balance both. Anyway, we went off on a crazy tangent here. This has been a 40-minute session. So that's why I love these live discussions, because it's unscripted. It's totally raw from the heart. But if there's one lesson to live from this particular podcast, it would certainly be to live openly. I think the more you live openly to everything, it's like an open ocean, totally free, yet full of life and abundance, plant life, fish life, everything. And I want to be the ocean.
Yeah.
And I want to live my life. I want to live like my life, like the ocean, not this enclosed pool. Right. Right? You know what I'm saying?
Little kiddie pool.
I want to live like the ocean, abundant and full, and just everyone wants to dive into it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And there's just, it's the lifeline of the planet after all. But I remember hearing this, maybe it was in a movie or something, but somebody said like, just something simply like perspective, completely shuts you out from everything else. When you have a perspective, which we all have a perspective, obviously we're stuck in these bodies, but when you have a sort of like I can't do this, or I can do this, or like you said, closed, like opening yourself up allows for you like so many possibilities, endless possibilities. And I think also you have to be prepared to be wrong, because when you're open, you're going to be wrong about some things. You're going to learn that, maybe I'm not right. Maybe I don't know it all. Maybe I'm not perfect. I do make mistakes. And that's the beautiful part, man, is when you make a mistake and you love yourself through it, that's hard to do.
Yeah.
It's really hard to do.
No, for sure. And I think if you look at it, if you look at it from the perspective of initiating teenagers, there's a one tribe that will teach the young boy just right after they've been circumcised. Why do you think that is? Because that's when they're all most open to wisdom, because they're most vulnerable and weak in the place they are most powerful and potent. And they're weak there. They're bleeding there. They're hurt. that's when they're most vulnerable. That's a perfect depiction and metaphor for life, that we learn the most when we feel like we're weak and we feel like we are vulnerable and powerless to make changes. That is when we're learning the most. And even Queen says, personally, I feel like I've experienced super fast personal growth, even though not a lot about my external world has changed. That's exactly it. Nothing changes out there, but everything changes in here and in your belly. And as you live openly to all that stuff, even for me, my addictions and my own personal interior struggles, as I put attention to those addictions and I put my attention on those and I sit with those addictions and the sensations that those addictions and those patterns give me, I free myself from them because I'm able to sit with them and not be afraid of them anymore. And the more comfortable you can be with being uncomfortable, man, the journey is so much more flowing and free and loving and just graceful. So ladies and gentlemen, this was an amazing show. I really feel like, I wanted to live openly and hopefully you guys got an open feel from this discussion and your hearts are open, your minds are open and your guts are open and you're able to live wisely, effervescently and with total bliss and peace within you. So God bless you guys to your continued upgrade and evolution. Live it up with power, purpose, and passion. God bless.